Tonight we're going to be talking about faith is trusting our God. In Psalm 37, verse 1, and we're going to use Psalm 37 quite a bit tonight, it says, "Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they'll soon wither. Like green plants, they'll soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He'll make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil." Trusting our Lord is such an important thing, because if we trust our Lord, we're going to obey our Lord. It'll make all the difference in our lives. Several verses that were there that we just read. Verse 3 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good." Verse 4 said, "Delight yourself also in the Lord." Verse 5 said, "Commit your way to the Lord." And verse 7 said, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him." All those verbs in those different verses are talking about faith. When we really trust someone, we take them at their word and we agree together that if you do this, I'll do that. That's trust. When you meet new people, do you trust them automatically? I hope not. How many people does the Bible say are liars? It says all. I got to tell you, I know some people that are as honest, I would trust my life to them. But if it really came down to it, would they ever lie? Possibly. We're humans. We have a sin nature. Whose butt do we most want to protect? Our own. That's the way it works. And so we trust people, but we sometimes don't trust the Lord. If you get on an airplane to fly anyplace, do you trust that pilot would get you from Chicago to California if you get on the plane? You wouldn't get on the plane if you didn't, would you? I wouldn't. If I didn't think that guy knew what he was doing, there's no way I'm getting on that plane. If I didn't think the plane was trustworthy, there's no way I'm getting on that plane. But we have to trust somebody sometimes. And the one we can trust the most is trusting our Lord. The Bible says some interesting things about our Lord, and one of those interesting things is that we serve a God who cannot lie. Not only doesn't he lie, but he cannot lie. And so we can trust him all the way. Trusting, committing, and resting in the Lord is a recipe for continued growth all the days of our life. When we start trusting our Lord, taking him at his word, he will bless us. In John 16:31, it says, "I've told you these things so that in me you'll have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world." We're going to have trouble, but Jesus said we should take heart. We talked this morning about losing heart. Tonight we're talking about gaining heart. When your heart has perfect trust, we can move forward even when everything seems to be saying, "Don't go forward. Be careful here." There's only so many people we can trust. In order to trust anybody, I say a person ought to get to know those people first. Don't trust everybody. You go down to the used car salesman, and the used car salesman says, "This belonged to a little old lady. She was very gentle with the car. All the oil changes were made on time. You don't even have to look at this car. You just need this car." How many of you are going to fall for that? I hope nobody. I hope you realize car salesmen make their living by selling cars. and they are not all honest. Now, I got to tell you, there are some car salesmen that I do trust, but not very many. We need to be careful. So we need to know the person. The second thing is, for a person to be trustworthy, they've got to be just and fair and impartial. You can't trust somebody. You know, all these studies that are coming out that we had over the safety of the COVID shots, where did all those studies come from? They came from the big pharmaceutical companies. Do they have a vested interest in how that study turns out? I hope you can think in your mind, we need to be careful. If somebody's impartial, I used to like getting a consumer report because they were impartial. They would rate the cars. They didn't make any money on the ratings. They would just rate the cars. They'd say, this car is pretty dependable. This one's not so good. I could trust them because they weren't working for General Motors. If General Motors put out the same study and said Hondas are no good, but GM is the best, you'd say, I don't know if I can trust that or not, because they've got a vested interest. We need to be careful that we know that. We've got to know the person's reliable and dependable and be counted on to keep their word. Do you know why some children today have such a trouble trusting their teachers? It's because they couldn't trust their parents. And now they go to school and they can't trust their teachers. Now they go to work and they can't trust their boss. Why? Because there's so much lying going on, so much, I'll be at the ball game at 7 o'clock, and 7 o'clock comes and no dad and mom, and 9 o'clock comes and no dad and mom, and they never show up. And it's not just once in a while, it's over and over and over. What does a child learn? If I can't trust dad and mom, who can I trust? Nobody. And that's why it's so important for parents to be trustworthy. When we get a promise from our Lord, He never breaks a promise. Can anybody here think of any promise God has ever broken? All the promises given in the Bible, all the promises given to me as an individual, I've never seen Him break one. And so it's so important that we trust our God. We live in a day where people have a difficult time putting their trust in any person. And biblically, there are good reasons for that. In Romans 3:23, it says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There are no perfect parents. There are no perfect bosses. There's no perfect teachers. There's no perfect pastors. We're all in the same boat. And then he goes on in Jeremiah 17, verse 5. He says, this is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wasteland. They'll not see prosperity when it comes. They'll dwell in the parched places of the desert in a salt land where no one lives. Now, the Lord, he's not saying don't trust anybody. He's saying simply, when God says one thing, and any man you know, whether it's a pastor, a parent, a child, and they say something different, you better go with the Lord. Because the Lord never lies. And people do. And we need to be able to discern that. In Psalm 116, verse 11, in my alarm I said, everyone is a liar. And when you're talking about mankind, sad to say, that's the truth. And so we trust people if they show themselves worthy of trust, but we always have that little reserve in the back of our mind, if things got bad enough, they might lie too to save their own. Remember Peter? Peter the apostle said, although everybody else denies you, not me, boy, I'll always be there for you. And the Bible says all the other apostles said exactly the same thing. How many of them stayed true to that? Not one. That's pretty sad, but that's the truth of the matter. When it comes down life and death, that's when the bottom drops out. When it comes to my job or your job, guess what? Sorry for you. You're going to lose your job. We have to have limits on how much we trust people. But we can trust God because God is always truthful. He cannot. It's impossible It's against everything in his character to lie ever. God can't lie. The Bible says it's impossible for him. In Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, God is not human that he should lie, nor a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Not that I've ever seen. Every promise he's ever given, he's been faithful to. In Titus chapter 1, verse 2, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. We can trust God because he always does that which is just. He never breaks what's just dealing with mankind. We can trust God in 1 Peter 1, verse 15. But just as he who has called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. God doesn't have favorites. God treats all of us exactly the same. And he's going to be fair. And we can take that to the bank. We can trust our God because he's dependable. Whatever he says he's going to do, he does. He never shortcuts it one bit. In Joshua chapter 21, verse 43, so the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their ancestors, and they took possession of it and settled there. The Lord gave them the rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their ancestors. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hands. Not one of the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. But the first generation that he took to the promised land never entered the promised land. Anybody know why they didn't enter? They didn't trust. God said, I'm going to take you in. I'm going to give you the land. They said, we can't go in. They were right. They couldn't on their own. But with God, all things are possible. They said, you brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children in the wilderness. And God said, because of your lack of faith, you are not going in. But those children that you said I was going to destroy, they're going to go in. God's trustworthy. But if we won't trust him, he'll give the blessing to somebody else. I don't know about you. I want my own blessings. I don't want it to go to somebody else. I want to give you a few examples of God's faithfulness to different people at different times. God promised Abraham a son, and a son was born under impossible circumstances. Abram was 99 or 100 years old, and Sarah was over 75 years old when the baby was born, and she was past age. This was an impossible birth, but God kept his word. God promised Israel a land, and they conquered the land in spite of the giants, in spite of the walled cities. They did it. But it was the next generation, and that's sad. For 40 years, they wandered in the desert when they could have been in a land of milk and honey. A lack of faith comes at a huge cost. God promised the world a Messiah through the nation of Israel. And Satan and world rulers tried to destroy the nation of Israel over and over, but God maintained that nation. And about 4,000 years after the first promise, God brought the Messiah. Right on his timetable. God promised the world a Savior through Israel, and in spite of all the efforts of mankind to stop it, God brought it to pass. God promised protection and deliverance to people who would keep his word, and God's been doing that all these generations. God has been faithful in the past, and he will be faithful in the future. Saying that you trust God without living a life that shows it, James says, is useless. If you really trust God, you're going to be living for his glory. You're going to be obeying his word. Now, nobody perfectly, but it should be a continual growth that I'm going to love and serve the Lord more. I'm going to trust him more and more and more because he's been faithful so long in my life now. The song, Trust and Obey, and we're going to sing that at the close of the sermon, because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. The song doesn't say anything about understanding. It says there's no other way but to trust and obey. You don't have to understand how God's going to do it. The children of Israel wanted to know, before I go into that promised land, how are you going to do it? And God said, just trust me. You know, the old saying is, seeing is believing. The real truth of the Word of God is, believe and you'll see. We get it all backwards. We want to know before. And God says, if you trust me, you will see it. So when we sing the old song, Trust and Obey, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey, that should go to our hearts. But oftentimes, our songs of even praise to God stay in the head. It never affects the heart. What God wants us to do is to start trusting Him in every area of life so that He can begin to bless you in every area of life. We sing faith is the victory, and it is. Faith is not seeing at the start, but as you have faith in the Lord, you will see the blessings that He'll bring. In Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, it says, know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He's the faithful God, keeping His covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love Him and keep His commandments. Do you know there hasn't been 1,000 generations on this earth yet? There may never be, I don't know. But there has not been 1,000 generations. The generations is about 30 to 40 years in the scriptures. And we've only been the earth. I'm a short earth man. I believe the Lord created life about 4,700 BC. So we haven't even been here long enough for 1,000 generations. But the Lord's promise is that for 1,000 generations, His promises are going to be fulfilled. And I don't know of any generation that ever said, no, the Lord lied. He didn't keep His word. He's always kept His word. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, sometimes you'll tell people that are unsaved about your faith in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God because they're foolishness to him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. And so when you're trying to tell somebody about how faithful God has been, they say, that's foolishness. God can't do that. Until they get saved, they're never going to be able to trust the Lord. You can talk to people all day long about the way the Lord blesses for faithful service, and they're never going to get it. Not until they're born again. And then suddenly God becomes their Father. They know they can trust their Heavenly Father, and they'll start to grow in their faith. He said, therefore, the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God. Folks, it's so important for us to understand that the God that we serve has been faithful in eternity past. All the way back to Adam and Eve, He was faithful, wasn't He? God said, the day you eat of the tree of the knowledge, you're going to eat, you're going to die. What happened when they did it? They died spiritually. They were dead. Now, they lived physically quite a while, but spiritually, they were separated from God. Every promise since then, right up till this time, God has been faithful in. You don't have to beg God to keep His word. So many people think, I have to pray that same prayer 185 times, and then maybe God will open up. No. You come boldly to the throne of grace. You can claim the promises of God, expecting with all your heart the Lord is always going to do what He said He would do. In Hebrews 4:16, you have an invitation from God. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. He is God, but He loves you. You're His son or His daughter. If your child came to you with an honest request and you knew it was for their good, wouldn't you do it? I would. And I'm a sinful person, but I would. God's way better than that. We can come to him with any request. We don't have to bargain with him. We don't have to plead with him. We don't have to beg him. We just come and present our case. And if it's for our good, he'll answer yes. If it's not for our good, no matter how much you want it, he's going to say no. Why? Because he loves you too much to give you something that's going to hurt you. He wants you to go through what he needs you to go through to grow. We can trust God to do exactly what he said he will do. One of the most wonderful promises he's given is that if we will honestly confess our sin, he will forgive that sin. In 1 John 1:9, some of you may know it by heart, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. How many times a day can you come to the Lord with that petition? Yeah, but after five times, isn't he going to? Remember what Peter said? How many times should I forgive my brother? Up to seven times? Boy, he thought that was a pretty good stretch. And Jesus said not seven times, 70 times seven times, 490 times. But what if it's 491? Well, that's just an idea. You just keep doing it. And what God says is no matter how many times you sin, and sometimes maybe in the same sin the same day, you come to him with honest confession, he'll forgive it. He'll cleanse you of all your unrighteousness. Now you've got a choice again. Am I going to start obeying or am I going to keep doing this? But God doesn't get fed up with us. When my kids were young, I would work with them and I would say, okay, you broke the rule. Here's the punishment. Don't worry about it. We'll be okay. But if they kept breaking the rule, I would lose my temper after a while. God's not like that. I'm not God, and neither is anybody here. We really try to be like the Lord, but we're not quite there yet. But God forgives and forgives and forgives. Confession is simply saying the same thing God says about my sin. I missed the mark of what God wanted me to do. And if you do that with an honest heart, he will forgive you again and again and again. I advise you not to keep going, because like any good parent, although I would forgive my children, I still kept my word and punished them. We reap what we sow. Be careful what you sow. I don't know about you, I don't like spankings, and I don't like getting disciplined all the time. 1 John 1:9 has to do with God's forgiveness and God's faithfulness. How many times? As many times as it takes. He loves you, and he loves to forgive sin. When the Holy Spirit prompts us, we need to delight ourselves in our Lord. We need to rejoice in his goodness to us. Trust in the Lord and do good, he said. That's the obeying part. Trusting in the Lord without obeying means you don't trust. When the children of Israel got to the promised land and the Lord said, it's time to go in, they said, we can't. They didn't trust the Lord to take them in and win the victory. And if you don't trust the Lord to take you in and get the victory, guess what happens? You get to stay without the victory. And they did. 40 years without any rest, 40 years of constant complaining, grumping, griping, grouching, and they could have been in the promised land. I just want to encourage you, believe God. Trust God. Act on those promises. Win some victories in your life. Don't stay out in the desert. It doesn't make sense. We can trust our God to always give us guidance. He's given us some wonderful promises that if we will seek him, he will guide our lives. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, he says, trust in the Lord with half your heart. Is that what it said? That's not what it says, is it? You guys feel free to jump in anytime I do that. When I read it wrong, say, no, that's not right. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In some of your ways, submit to him. Oh, very good. That's what I... Praise the Lord. That, That's what we need to do. Wait a minute. That's not what it says. In all your ways, submit to him, and he'll make your path straight. Folks, do you understand what he's promising you there? He's promising, if you'll get your heart and say, Lord, no matter what you tell me, I'm going to start trusting in that. I'm going to start acting on that. He'll direct your steps. He'll give you the guidance you need for those good choices in life. Even Christians are making terrible choices because they trust in the Lord with half their heart. They lean to their own understanding about half the time and God's understanding about half the time. I wonder how many times we got to get smacked down before we realize it'd be wiser to trust God all the time. He knows what he's doing, and he loves you more than you love yourself. He doesn't withhold any good thing from them that walk uprightly. We keep thinking, if I do it God's way, he's going to hold out on me. I'm not going to get what I want. But exactly the opposite is the truth. Who's the thief and the robber that wants to rob you all the time? It's Satan. It's not the Lord. Satan tells you he's going to give you this, he's going to give you that. He's going to rob you blind. And we don't catch on very well. Many people are looking for guidance, and they do all kinds of things to try to get that guidance. Now, I haven't gotten the Saginaw News in quite a while. Maybe somebody knows. Do they still have the horoscope in the Saginaw News? They do. Okay. For generations now, people have been following the horoscope. Every once in a while, the horoscope actually does come true, doesn't it? You know, if that clock back there stopped running, if it, you know, the battery goes dead and it just stops, how many times a day is it going to be right? Two times a day, it's going to be right, even though it's not moving one bit. Horoscopes are like that. If people read them often enough, one of these days it's going to come true, and you're going to say, whoa, that's true. Folks, that's ridiculous. The Lord didn't put the stars in the sky to give us guidance on choices of life. He put the stars in place that you could follow the stars to navigate on the ocean, but he never put them there for daily guidance. They're his creation. We need to be those that seek the Lord and seek his will. In Luke chapter 6, verse 46, Jesus asked a question. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? For everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I'll show you what they're like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. We need to be those that trust in the Lord with all of our heart. We can trust the Lord for guidance. Now, there are two basic ways that God guides his children. One is through the Scriptures. If you are not every day in the Scriptures, I'm going to tell you, you're going to lose your bearings. You need to be in the Scriptures. You need to have a time set aside every day that you are in God's Word. We are clay pots. Do you know what happens to clay pots over time? They crack, and the blessing flows out, and we have to be constantly refilled. And what the Lord is telling us is, if we stay in his word will be our guide. He loves to have people study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman or woman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I know what God has said, and now I can trust him. If I don't know what God said, I can't trust him. I'll give you an example of that. When I went to high school, I took advanced math up through trigonometry. Later on, 20 years after that, when I got on my skilled trade, again, I had to take math up through trigonometry. but I haven't used it in 40 years. How much do you think I still have left of trigonometry in my brain? It's gone. It's all gone. And the same thing happens with the Word of God. Unless we're constantly refreshing that, it's gone. Some of you, I hope, are memorizing some verses. But if you don't go over those verses, how long does it take before you can't quote it? A couple weeks, a month for sure, and it's gone. We have to review. Paul said, for me to repeat the same things doesn't bother me at all, and for you it's needful. It's needful for us to get in the Word of God, stay in the Word of God. Sunday school is wonderful. I just got to advise you, if not here, some other church, Sunday school, you get to ask questions. The idea is, in Sunday school, you can hold everything. I don't get that. Explain that. Pastor Williams, where we used to go, was excellent at that. He could help me along when I would ask questions, and I had a lot of questions. The Lord also guides us through His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide us according to the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will also urge others to come alongside us and help to guide us. And we're foolish not to listen to the Holy Spirit. He'll guide you in the truths of God's Word. In Romans 8:14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Every true blood-bought son or daughter of God ought to be open to the Holy Spirit's leading. Do you know the Holy Spirit is called Christ in you, the hope of glory? It's Jesus Christ in the third person of the Godhead. And so it's extremely important. There are principles, and we're guided many times with an open word and a heart open to the Spirit's leading. In Psalm 37, verse 3 again, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. What He'll do is He'll change those desires, though. The things that used to thrill you aren't going to thrill you so much anymore. And the Lord's going to give you new things that are going to thrill you even more. In 1 Peter 3:15, He says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason of the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. We can trust our God to be a just God. He is holy and He is just. He won't treat one person better than another. He treats each of us as individual children that He loves. God is living and God is powerful. And it's very, very easy to believe, especially when you're going through a tough time, that God's not with me in this. But He's always there. He always cares. He always loves us. He'll carry us when the times get hard. All we have to do is keep trusting Him. God is aware if you're mistreated. The Apostle Paul went through terrible times. We talked about the Apostle Paul today, the terrible times he went through. God's right there in the midst of that. Paul was told by the Lord when he was persecuting the early Christian. The Lord said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? The Lord loves you so much, He takes it on as personal when somebody's against His children. In 1 Peter 2, verse 21, He says, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in His mouth. When they hurled their insults at Him, He did not retaliate. When He suffered, He made no threats. Instead, He entrusted Himself who judges justly. If our Lord Jesus Christ suffered to do the Father's will, do you ever suppose it might be God's will that you suffer to do His will as well? The Bible says if we suffer with Him, we'll also reign with Him. Don't be afraid of suffering. The Lord's going to reward that. Christ suffered for us in 1 Peter 2:23 again. It says, when they hurled their insult at him, he did not retaliate. I'm not the Lord. Sometimes, when people do things to me, I retaliate. Shouldn't, but I do. I'm hoping to learn to stop doing that, but every once in a while, Lord, if you're not going to defend me, I'm going to do it. Well, every time I do, I get in deeper trouble. So hopefully we'll learn together, we do not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threat. Instead, he entrusted himself who judges justly. This is so important because so often we think we have to make things right. God wants us to learn that in his time, he's going to make everything right. We don't have to retaliate. We don't have to get even. We don't have to get one better. Lee Iacocca used to say, don't get mad, get even. You won't find that in the Bible anyplace. That is not God's plan. I can tell you Christians that will be frustrated and they'll wait years to get even. Folks, we should never do that. God's plan is not that you get even or do one better. God's plan is found in Romans 12, verse 14. And I want to read this because it's so important you know ahead of time, because you are going to suffer. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Now, it's natural. That's our response. Somebody does something to me, I'm going to do one better to them. That's what children, that's how we are. That's how we're wired. But the Lord wants us to learn something different. Be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's not normal human rational thinking. That's supernatural, godly thinking. But he will bless it. As you don't try to get even, as you don't take it into your own hands, the Lord has given you a promise. He will repay. He may repay right away, but for sure he's going to repay in eternity. We don't have to get him. We don't have to do one better. We can wait upon the Lord. He says, do not take revenge in Romans 12, 19. My friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. He can do it without human wrath. He can do it in a way that's holy and right. We cannot. So trust in the Lord is to do what is just. It's to do what's right and it's to do what's fair. God is going to do it in his time. He's going to even the score all around. We need to commit our way unto the Lord. We need to delight ourselves in the Lord. We need to trust in the Lord and we need to rest in the Lord. And when we do that, God's going to bless our lives. We are going to be more than conquerors through him who loved us.